good to serve a faithful God, isn't it? Amen. All right. Turn, if you would, this morning to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. I pray that you'd bless now the effort to preach your word, that you would use it to speak to our hearts today. I pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, 2 weeks ago, you may remember, we began looking at chapter 12 of Ecclesiastes, and we looked at the first 8 verses in that message. And as we made our way into Ecclesiastes chapter 12, I tried to explain to us and I tried to remind us that by the time we reached chapter 12, Solomon was no longer a young man. He is what we might refer to as an older man, one who was in the latter stages of his life. And as that is so, as that was the stage he was in, what Solomon was very mindful of and what he was communicating was this, is that when you reach a point in older age, there comes a point where the days are not as easy as they once were. There are many difficulties associated with it. And at some point, it is ultimately going to lead to the death of an individual. And they are going to return to this earth and they'll give up the ghost. They'll give up the spirit that God had given them. And so as he was very aware of the latter stages of life, as he was very aware of his sooner rather than later appointment with death, what Solomon said was this to all those who were younger than him, that in the days of their youth, they needed to remember their Creator. And basically what he was saying is this, is that you need to be reminded of who created you and who gave you life. And as a result, you need to be reminded of who your responsibility is to. Your responsibility is not to this world. Your responsibility is not to anyone or anything in this world. Our responsibility is to the one who created us, that being God. And that is such an important and needed reminder in our world today, because it is so easy to get wrapped up into the things of this world. The world says this is important. The world says this is important. And so many things try to grab our attention. And we need to be reminded that the only responsibility that we have is to serve our Lord and to worship our Lord in the way that we ought and live for Him in a way that would be pleasing to Him. And so it's a reminder to all of us, not just the young people, that in the days of health and in the days of strength, in the days that we have the ability to do things, serve the Lord and nothing else, because nothing else matters when we stand before Him. So that being said, this morning we're going to look at just a couple of more verses. As we do, I want to talk about something that it's possible I have mentioned in sermons past. I know that I've talked about sports on many occasions. I know that I have referenced them because there are so many lessons that can be learned from the world of sports. But I do enjoy, as most of you know, I enjoy watching professional sports. And if you're a fan of professional sports, then here's what you know. Professional athletes age just like everyone else. Professional athletes do not avoid the aging process. And so as you watch your favorite team, maybe as you watch your favorite player, over the years, what happens to them is the same thing that has happened to you as you've been watching them, is they have gotten older, and as a result, they've slowed down a little bit. Maybe they don't have the agility they once had, the speed they once had, whatever it may be. You can tell that time has certainly taken a toll on their body. And as these players play each year, here's what the announcers and the sports writers, here's what they began to do. They began to speculate how much longer this person can play at this level. Do they have one more year in them? Do they have 2 more years in them? At what point is this player going to have to hang it up and call it quits and call it a career? So if you're familiar with sports and especially the aging superstars, here's what you'll find, that at some point this star, this great athlete is interviewed by someone in the media and they ask a question like this: how much longer do you think you can play the game? And though the words vary and though the responses are a bit different, it's not uncommon to hear that athlete, that veteran, say something like this: "So long as I can still play the game with some measure of effectiveness, I want to play the game. So long as I can handle the grind, I want to stay out there and I want to be a part of it because I enjoy it." And you might hear them say something like this: "So long as I can still have a positive effect on my team, so long as I can still contribute, I want to be out here and I want to be a part of it and I want to contribute and I want to just take place and or be a part of what's taking place out on the field or out on the court, whatever it may be." There's this attitude and there's this spirit that so long as I can contribute, that's what I want to do. Now, when an athlete evaluates themselves, when an athlete looks at their life and their abilities and they come to this conclusion, "I think I still have something to give," there's nothing inappropriate about that conclusion. There's nothing wrong with that athlete having that mindset, having that opinion. If I can contribute, then that's what I want to do. Now, this morning, as we think about that principle, as we think about that thought, let me remind us one more time that in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, Solomon is not a young man. We would say that Solomon was an old man. The hands of time have not been turned back for him. Solomon did not find some fountain of youth. The days of his prime are well past him. He's got less days in front of him than he has behind him. Solomon now is an old man. And as we think about that, I want us to look in the middle of verse number 9. We'll come back to some other thoughts in a moment, but I want us to begin looking in verse number 9. In the middle it says, "Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs." He gave heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. Now, I know that some of you know what I'm about to say. I know that this is something that most of you would be familiar with, but I want us to think about what a proverb is. A proverb, more times than not, is a very short, simple, and concise statement that is meant to convey some kind of truth, some kind of thought, some kind of an idea. You understand this, right? That a proverb is, generally speaking, something that is short and concise, and its purpose is intended to convey a thought, an idea, a statement, a belief. This can be secular, this can be spiritual. They can cross over to one another, where it would be true in the secular realm, where it would also be true in the spiritual realm. But that is what a proverb is. And so it says in verse number 9, related to these proverbs, that Solomon, in his old age, it said he gave heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. So what does it mean whenever it says in verse number 9 that he gave heed to many proverbs? Well, the words "give heed" would mean this: to give careful attention to something. To give careful attention to something. And so Solomon was very well acquainted with what a proverb was. He knew that it was short. He knew it was concise. He knew that it was intended or designed to convey a thought, to convey a purpose, to convey a belief, whatever it may be. And so it says in verse number 9 that this is what he did. He gave attention and he gave careful attention to proverbs, so much so that it says next in verse number 9 that not only did he give heed to it, that he also sought out many proverbs. What does this mean whenever it says that Solomon sought out many proverbs? Well, it means this: that he looked for ways to communicate these truths in this simple and concise manner. So it's as though Solomon was looking at different areas of life. He was looking at different things that would be present in their world, things that people would deal with, things that people would wrestle with. And it's as though the writer, it says of Solomon, that he gave special attention to look for ways to communicate these proverbs. And then it says next, and that he set in order these many proverbs. So what does it mean to set in order? Well, it means to lay it out and to lay it out in a fashion that would be straight or simple to understand. Does this make sense? Maybe not. Well, what the scripture is saying to you and I is this, is that here is Solomon, and he is giving special attention to think of different ways in which he can communicate different truths in a clear and easy and concise manner where anyone might be able to read or hear what he said and know what he was trying to communicate. Now let me ask you something. How many of us have ever read a proverb, say in the book of Proverbs, or even in Ecclesiastes, and you and I might say something like this, I don't understand that. Has it ever happened to you? Well, it's happened to me on many occasions, and if you read through the book of Proverbs, there will be times that you come across one, and you'll say to yourself, I have no idea what Solomon was trying to convey. Now, I've said this before, and I say this to explain and to maybe help our attitude a little bit. I don't know if it would need help, but I want us to think about this, that over the years, things that may have once made perfect sense to some people don't make sense to other people living in a different day. That would be true, would it not? And so if you go back and you read the Proverbs of Solomon, here's what we've got to be reminded of, is that those were written thousands of years ago, and because of the generational gaps and how things have changed over the years, it probably made more sense sometimes in their day than it would to us. So it's not a lack of effort or a lazy approach on Solomon's part as he wrote these Proverbs. It may just have something to do with the fact that we're not living in the same day as him. Okay, now I say all that to kind of build upon this and to try to get us somewhere. Here is Solomon, and he is giving attention to communicate truths, to come up with ways in which he can communicate truths in an easy, simple, direct fashion, where if someone were able to read his words, they would know what he was trying to say and what he was trying to communicate. So you look in verse number 10. Another reference to the preacher, that being Solomon, it says this, the preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. So what does it mean whenever it says that the preacher sought to find acceptable words? Well, it means that he sought out words that would be desirable or words that would be pleasing or words that would have a purpose to them. Something that would be desirable, something that would be pleasing, or something that would have a purpose. And so here is Solomon, and what is he doing? Well, the scripture records that he is trying to give attention to truths that he could communicate in a proverb, something that would be clear, something that would be concise, something that would be easy to be understood, and he wanted his words to have purpose. He did not want to just write proverbs just for the sake of writing proverbs. He wanted them to be helpful. He wanted them to be purposeful. He wanted them to be beneficial to someone. He wanted his words to have some substance to it. And it goes on to say in verse number 10, and that which was written or that which was recorded was upright, even words of truth. So of the proverbs that Solomon wrote, of the proverbs that Solomon penned as he gave attention to different truths, here is what the scripture concludes of the Proverbs. First, that they were upright, or they were right, or they were accurate. What Solomon said and what Solomon wrote was right, it was accurate, it was truthful, and so much so that whenever it says that they were even words of truth, it means this, they were words that could be counted upon or words that could be depended upon, words you could trust. Okay, this is important for this reason. If you read a proverb and it wasn't right, and yet you adopted it to your life, it could foul you up. Okay? It was important that what Solomon said was right, that what Solomon said was accurate, that what Solomon said was this, is that it could be trusted, or it could be relied upon, or it could be depended upon. So that if someone were to take the words of Solomon and say, okay, I'm going to apply that to my life, I'm going to practice that in my life, what Solomon wanted to make sure of and what the scripture records is this, is that if a person took the Proverbs that Solomon wrote and they began to apply them to their everyday lives, here's what they would find, is that those words could be trusted, that those words could be true, because those words were accurate. See, there are so many people who say, well, the book of Proverbs, you know, those words that Solomon said, they can't really be trusted. Not all of them can be depended upon. Not all of them are accurate. No, the scripture says that what he said was upright and they were words of truth. Okay, so what he said, they were right words, and what he said were words that you could depend on, words that you could trust, words that you could count on to be trustworthy, whatever the circumstance of life is. And so here is Solomon, and what does the Bible say of him? It says that even in the latter stages of his life, even in his quote-unquote old age, here is what Solomon was seeking to do. He was seeking to find new ways to communicate truths in a manner that would be clear and easy to understand, things that would be concise, things that would be able to be remembered by the one who came into contact with the proverb. And here is what happened, that as he sought this out and that as he approached this to have words of meaning and words of wisdom, it was proven that his words were upright and his words were true. Fine. Let's think about this for just a moment. Solomon's an old man, is he not? Well, he is an old man. And what does the scripture seem to indicate even in verses 9 and 10? Well, it seems to indicate this idea that Solomon had a desire to continue in the process of growing and bettering himself. See, even as an old man, there was not this willingness on the part of Solomon or this contentedness on the part of Solomon to just kind of sit back and put it on cruise control, so to speak. There was this desire in the heart and in the life and in the mind of Solomon to continue writing Proverbs that he believed could be a help to anyone who may come across them. Now, I'll say more about this in a moment, but I just want to say this right now as well. I believe it to be a commendable thing when an older person still has a desire to learn things that benefit and profit other people, when they have a desire to still be engaged in things that have purpose and meaning to them. It's an admirable thing. It's impressive. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I'm going to go ahead and say this as well. It's admirable and it's impressive for this reason, because so many people, when they get to a certain stage in life, they feel as though they're able to quit and just kind of coast. And as I said, put it on cruise control, and the learning process doesn't have to continue for them anymore. For Solomon, that's not what he wanted in his life. So here's Solomon, and what does it say? It said that he continued to seek out, he continued to set in order, he continued to give heed to these proverbs, that he wanted there to be some purpose and some value and some meat to what he had to say. And that's all good and that's all impressive, but I want us to look at one more thought this morning, and then we'll kind of move on. Notice what it says in verse number 9 at the very beginning of the verse. It says this, "And moreover, because the preacher was wise." And moreover, because the preacher was wise. Well, what does it mean to be wise? It means this: you've got some wisdom. Can we at least like nod our head? Like, yeah, I think that's what it means. See, in order to be wise, you have to have some kind of wisdom. Okay, so because the preacher was wise, because Solomon had some wisdom. This isn't a reference about me, the preacher, this morning, okay? It's a reference about Solomon. Maybe we're confused on this, all right? This is a reference to Solomon, okay? Because Solomon was wise. He had some wisdom. Well, how did he have wisdom? Well, he had wisdom for many different reasons and from many different avenues. He had wisdom. He had wisdom because there was a time in which he prayed for wisdom. He prayed for discernment. He prayed for the ability to govern the people of Israel, the people of God, in a manner that would please God. He prayed for it. He sought it out. It was something that he searched for. It was something that he went after like a treasure or like some kind of a precious metal. Solomon not only asked for wisdom, he looked for wisdom. But there was something else that gave Solomon wisdom. It was called years of experience. He's not 20 years old anymore. He's not 25. He's not 30. He's not 35. He's not 40. By this point, he is an old man. And so he's got some wisdom, not just because he prayed and asked the Lord for this wisdom, not just because he sought it out, but he has some wisdom in his life because he has experienced many things and he has seen many things and he has dealt with many things. And so it says in verse number 9, "And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge." He taught the people knowledge. What does it mean or what is involved when you teach something to someone? Well, the idea of teaching is for one person to take information that they know and they are aware of or they are well acquainted with, and here's what they do. They take that knowledge, that information, and they transmit it or they give it to someone else so that they can do something then with that wisdom and that knowledge and that understanding. Does this make sense? Come on, here's what Solomon did. Because he was wise, because he had some wisdom, because he had some discernment, because he had some understanding, because he had prayed for it, because he had sought it, and because years of experience had given it to him, you know what Solomon said? Solomon said, here's what I'm going to do with this wisdom. I am going to teach people the knowledge and the information and the things that I have learned. I am going to teach that to other people. I'm going to continue learning. I'm going to continue searching out truths and trying to come up with ways in which I can give a clear and precise and accurate statement, something that someone could remember, something that someone could hold on to. Here is what I'm going to do. I'm going to search all these things out, something that will have purpose, something that will have value, something that will have meaning. I'm going to try to do this so that I can be a help to people. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to try to take what I've learned over all these years of life and pass it down to someone else so that they might be better off, so that they might be better informed, so that they might avoid some of the mistakes that I've made, so that they might enjoy some of the same successes I've enjoyed. But here is Solomon, and it says of him that even in the latter stages of his life, here's what he wanted to do. He wanted to teach someone else what he had already learned. Solomon must have been one arrogant individual. I mean, think about it. Oh, Solomon, you think you know everything, huh? Oh, Solomon, you think just because you're old, you've got all the answers, huh? Oh, Solomon, you think that, you know, just because you were the king, that you can tell me what to do. Listen, I don't think that was the spirit at this point in Solomon's life at all. You know what I think Solomon's spirit was like at this point in his life? It's kind of like that veteran ball player. Hey, listen, I know the role has changed a little bit. I know that the situation is a little bit different than it once was, but I think Solomon's attitude and his spirit would have been something like this. I just kind of believe I've still got something to contribute. I've got something that I can give. I can still help. I can still influence. Let's listen. I can still be a benefit to some of these people around me. So it wasn't arrogance. It wasn't a haughty spirit. It wasn't anything of that nature. It was a man who realized, you know, I've learned some things over the years. And as a result of learning these things over the years, here's what I want to do. I want to teach other people the knowledge and the information and the wisdom that I've acquired Because if I can be a help to them, then it's worth it. Now, it says that Solomon, that he taught the people. Notice, please, that in verse number 9, it does not say that he taught them in a classroom setting. It does not say that he assembled people together and he said, "Hey, let me tell you all something. I'm about to teach you some things. You need to hear this." So the truth of the matter is this, is we don't know the avenues that Solomon used to try to teach people the wisdom that he was familiar with. It just lets us know that Solomon had a desire to continue learning, to continue coming up with proverbs that could be helpful, that could have purpose, that could have meaning in a person's life. And as a result of continuing to seek this out and to search it out and to give attention to it in the older years of his life, as a result of that, here's what he still had a desire to do, to teach someone else what he had already learned because he believed he had something to contribute. Friends, that's good, whether we want to acknowledge that this morning or not. That's good. Because it's a good testimony and it's a good example to every one of us. Well, why is that a good testimony and a good example for all of us? Well, let's think about it. As I mentioned just a moment ago, it does seem to be the tendency of so many people that as they grow older in life, they really lose kind of a burden or a concern to learn anything else. I'm not trying to be ugly, but let's just be honest about the facts. That it seems as though that there comes a stage in the lives of so many people that you can't really teach them anything else because in their mind, whether they'd say it like this or not, they already know all this stuff. And so they're not really looking to learn anything else. And it's true not only in the secular realm, it's true in the spiritual realm of many people's lives. You know, sometimes you say things to people and they just look at you like, "Yeah, whatever. I don't care. I'm not raising kids anymore. That's not my problem. I don't work every day like you do anymore. I don't care." Let's just be honest. Sometimes, even in the spiritual realm of a person's life, if we're not careful, we reach this point where we don't really care about learning anymore. So let me just throw this out here for us, okay? It doesn't matter at what stage of life we are in today, there needs to be a desire on the part of every one of us to continue learning and to continue growing in our spiritual lives. Could we do something other than just stare this morning? I mean, just nod the head. I don't need a loud response, but think about this. There needs to be within us a desire to continue learning because none of us have learned everything. Right. Yeah, I pretty much know it all, though. No, we don't. Not one of us... Listen, not one of us know everything at this stage. We'll not ever acquire all the knowledge and all the information we need. There needs to be within us a maintained desire to continue learning and growing and not assuming that we have all the answers. And as we seek to learn and as we seek to grow, as we seek to develop in our spiritual lives, we should have a desire to grow in areas of life that matter, that have purpose, that have significance to the things of this world. And as we grow older, there should be this desire on our part to take what we've learned and teach it to others. This is so simple, and yet it is lost on so many people. There should be within us a desire to learn, to grow, to mature, to have a better understanding on things that matter. And though we may not be the ones coming up with the proverb, a nice little short, concise statement to convey this wonderful spiritual truth, there should be some desire on our part to take what we've learned and try to teach that to someone out there who could use it. To give them the knowledge of what we've learned over time that they couldn't begin to know because they've not lived that much. And they've not lived the same number of years as maybe we've lived or we've enjoyed. There should be within each of us, no matter where we're at in life, a desire to teach someone else something that matters, something that is important, something that has significance. But in order for us to be willing to try to teach people, here's what we've got to believe. We've got to believe that we have something to contribute. Listen, I know I'm not where some people are at. I understand this. But it's not uncommon to hear people say things like this: I'm just too old. I don't have anything to offer anymore. That could not be further from the truth. With your age comes an experience. And with my age comes an experience that others have not yet reached. And every one of us need to realize that because of where we're at in life, we've got something to contribute to someone else. But see, people say, well, I don't have anything to contribute. I don't have anything to offer. Or we hear things like this: they don't want to listen to what I have to say. You ever heard anybody express a thought similar to that? They don't want to hear what I have to say. They don't take me serious. I'm just the old person and I don't know anything. Hey, listen, I understand that to an extent. I've tried talking to teenagers before and you could just see that they were looking at me like, yeah, whatever, guy. Because in their eyes, I'm the old man, okay? And they're just looking at me like, yeah, whatever. Yeah, that's really nice. Hey, listen, I understand that they're not always just sitting around super excited to hear what we may have to say. But there needs to be a desire for us to communicate. There needs to be a desire for us to transmit what we've learned by way of experience, what we've learned by way of seeking out some wisdom and trying to improve ourselves. There needs to be a desire on our part to give that to someone else because we have something to contribute. But then people sometimes say this: I just don't know what to say. I don't know how I could ever teach someone some of the things that I've learned. Well, keep in mind that in verse number 9, it did not explain how Solomon taught. It just says that Solomon taught. I don't know about you, but many of the important life lessons that I learned were not in a classroom setting. A lot of times, the things that I've learned and the things that have stuck with me over the years have just been casual statements made by someone that maybe to them was casual, but it was something that stuck with me and something that I've held on to for years. Now, what's my point? My point is this: that in order for you to be able to transmit and teach someone else some of the wisdom that you've learned and some of the wisdom that you've acquired, you don't have to set them down and say, okay, now I'm about to tell you some things you need to hear. You might want to write this down. That's probably not the most effective way to teach them. Because that might be the very thing that puts up the wall that says, I'm not going to listen to what you have to say. But what may very well may be the best way to communicate some wonderful knowledge and some wonderful wisdom, it may just be that you're sitting there having lunch and you think to yourself, if God opens the door, I'm just going to say some things and just make a few statements and hope that it sticks. That's actually somewhat effective. You don't have to believe that. I'm just telling you, it can be very effective. Just going to try to have some time with them, just spend a little bit of time with them. And I'm not going to preach at them. I'm not going to yell at them. I'm not going to tell them all these things they're doing wrong. If the Lord will open the door, here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to try to make some statements because I've got something that I could contribute. I could still have some influence. I want to help. So I'm just going to say some things. And if we would trust the Lord to use those statements, we have no idea what kind of an impact they could have on that person's life. But see, if we're convinced already that we have nothing to offer, or they're not going to listen, then just realize we'll probably never have the nerve to make the statements that need to be made. You know, it's possible that some pretty important life lessons could be learned while standing on a dock, casting a line. See, I'm trying to give us some ideas as to how we could implement this. What do you mean? I mean this, you know. It's not that you're thinking to yourself, oh man, I'm going to set this person straight and I'm going to teach them some lessons. But it's, you know, hey, I'm going to invest in this person's life and here's what we're going to do. I'm going to begin praying about this. I'm going to begin asking the Lord for some opportunities. I care about this person. I want to see them do well in their life. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask them if they want to go fishing. And if the Lord opens the door, here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about some things and just kind of leave it at that. And us not have any idea how God may use that in the future. But friends, if we don't believe we have something to offer, we'll never invite someone to go fishing with us. Maybe that you learn something or you're able to teach something by just saying, hey, come go riding with me. I got to go check on something and I'd love to have you ride in the car with me. That's not when you preach. It's not when you set them straight. It's just whenever you make that effort to invest in them. Again, it doesn't have to be us as the teacher, and we're going to instruct, and we're going to hand out a syllabus, and we're going to hand out paperwork, and they're going to be tested over this. No, it's when you and I realize, you know, I've got something to contribute still. And here's this person I could have some influence on, and so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to begin investing in them, and as the Lord gives opportunity, I'm going to try to share some things with them that I think would be helpful, that I think would be beneficial, that I think would serve a purpose. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make sure that what I say is right so that it can be trusted, so that it can be relied upon, so that if they were to adopt it into their lives, they would realize that what I told them was the truth. But listen, if we're not convinced we have something to offer, we'll never do it. I'm just trying to remind us, every one of us have something to offer to someone. That being the case, let me ask you this. Are there certain people that you'd have to love to have some influence in their lives? But it seems as though they shut you down every time you try. That can certainly be the case, right? You want to have an influence in this person's life. You have such a burden for them. You want to see them get this truth, whatever it may be. And it may be that no matter what angle you come at it from, no matter what direction you come at it from, it may be that you feel as though you're having no influence on them whatsoever. So let's just be honest about it. You may not be having any influence on them. Right? It could be that you've got this friend and you'd love to share some things with them, but they're not going to hear you. It could be that you've got a child. You'd love to help them. You've got a grandchild. You'd love to help them. But it doesn't matter if it's in a car, if it's in a boat, if it's, you know, wherever it may be. It doesn't matter what you're trying to do. They shut you down all the time. Now, listen, I understand that you and I have burdens for certain people that may or may not give us the time of day. But I want to remind us of this, and we really need to hear this, that we may not be able to influence the people that we'd like to influence, but we can still influence someone if we care about influencing someone. I mean, I don't know how else to say this. I know there are people in my life I'd love to have influence on them. Not because I'm so arrogant and I think that I'm so wonderful and I've got all the answers, but I do think that God has allowed me to learn some things and to experience some things that I think would be a help. But every time I've tried to be a help, it's just been shut down completely and they've ignored it. Now, is there a chance that maybe someday what I said will be a help? I don't know, but I do know this. Just because I can't influence them doesn't mean I can't influence someone else. Listen. We are living in a culture where the next generation is desperate for help, whether they realize it or not. They are growing up in a world that makes no sense to them, and their idea of normal is everything that we would think is unnormal or crazy or dysfunctional. What the world desperately needs from us is for us to step up and say, you know, I think I've got something to contribute still. I think there are ways in which I could help. I think there are ways in which I could be a blessing. And so here's what I'm going to do. Rather than to just stop learning and rather than to just put my spiritual life on cruise control, so to speak, I'm going to keep digging and I'm going to keep learning and I'm going to continue trying to build myself in my walk with the Lord, with His help, of course. I'm going to continue striving to know His book better so that I can take what His book has taught and what I have sought and what life experience has shown me, and I am going to take that and I'm going to try to help someone out there who could use it. Man, our world needs that. But if we've convinced ourselves we have nothing to give or they're not going to listen or I don't know how to do it, if that's what we convince ourselves of, we will not influence anyone. And there will be people who could have been helped if we would have just stepped up and said something and shown a little bit of interest in them and invested in them. And so this morning, I don't know how you might process all this, so let me just kind of summarize it and say this. This is how I'd like for us to leave the service this morning. I'd like us to leave the service this morning with a desire to keep learning, with a desire to keep growing, with a realization that you have something to give someone else. You can still contribute. It doesn't matter who you are or where you're at in life. You can contribute to someone else's life, but you have to choose to and you have to be willing to. And I hope that you will. People need it. They need it desperately. And if we can help them, we ought to do everything in our power that we can, even if it's in the most subtle and discreet ways, asking the Lord, Lord, help me to have opportunity to say what needs to be said, to do what needs to be done. We have no idea how the Lord may use that to help that person at some point in their lives. Let's all stand this morning and bow our heads for prayer. Father, as we come to you this evening, or this morning rather, I pray that you would help us to look at the example of Solomon. Lord, I think it's a good testimony for us to consider, and it's one for us to be challenged by. God, we don't want to get lazy in our spiritual life. We don't want to get lazy in the older years of our life. We don't want to reach a point where we assume it's always for someone else and it's not for us. God, would you help us to keep growing and would you help us to have a burden to take what we've learned and to give it, to teach it to someone else? Would you help us today to be convinced that with your help and with your strength, we have something to give. We have something to contribute to someone else. Would you help us to be confident of that? I pray that you'd bless the invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. This is Lauren Play.